This story is told in different ways. But there's a story of a young man, and he had trouble with his tongue. Oh, did he ever like to tell stories about other people? Gossiping. He would get hold of some salacious detail, and oh, he just couldn't control himself. He just had to tell other people. Well, it just so happened, in that community that he was living in, there was a businessman. And this young man found out a little piece of information, a story about that businessman. Ooh, it was juicy. So he proceeded to tell a bunch of people about this thing that he had heard. It didn't matter that it wasn't true. Just so long as there was at least part of it was true, he justified himself in saying. Well, guess what happened to the businessman? Sad to say, but the businessman, he started losing customers. People stopped going to his business. And he's like, what's going on? And somebody told some gossip about you, and now people don't want to have anything to do with you. And that poor businessman, he said to himself, I'm ruined, and I'm so hurt. Well, this businessman was part of a local church, so he went to his pastor. And he said, Pastor, this is killing me, what's happened to me. And listen, I asked around, and I've actually found out the source of this gossip. And it was, yeah, this young man. What's the pastor going to do with that? Well, the pastor prayed with the businessman. And he, later on that day, contacted that young man who had started that gossip about the businessman. And he called him into his office and he said, I want to talk with you. Here's what I've heard. Is this true? And the young man, full of remorse, said, it's true. It's true. I shared that gossip with a bunch of people. And the pastor said, do you understand the implication of this? Your brother in Christ was here in church, in my office, just earlier today, and he is a broken man because of your words. Understanding the gravity of that situation, he felt really bad. He confessed there to the pastor, and the pastor said, I want you to do a couple of things. One of the things that I want you to do is you won't go back to your brother and tell him that you were wrong and ask his forgiveness. And I have another thing that I want you to do. He wanted to show him with a very vivid lesson. He had a pillow that was full of feathers. And he handed it to that young man, and he said, I have a little job for you. I want you to go outside, and I want you to pull out all the feathers from that pillow and throw it around in the churchyard. And then I want you to come back. So he did that, thinking, wow, this is weird. That's so strange. He came back, and the pastor said, and now that empty bag, that pillowcase, I want you to go back out there, and I want you to pick up every one of those feathers. Every last one, mind you. Put it back in the bag and then present that to me. What? That's impossible. How can I do that? Even if I could get most of them, I wouldn't be able to get all of them. The pastor said, yes, and so it is with your words. Once your words escape your mouth, it is very hard to fix that and get those back. Today, we are talking about wisdom's way, our words. Our words have the power of life, but they also have the power of death. They have the power to bless, but they also have the power to curse. And what you see in the Proverbs is this back and forth so beautifully where the author, Solomon, and obviously by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God himself speaking to us, he's speaking about what goes on when words escape our mouth and they come from wisdom or they come from the self. They're from heavenly wisdom or they come from worldly wisdom. So we're going to stand up. We're going to read the scriptures from Proverbs, and kids may be excused. Hear the word of the Lord as I read from Proverbs 10, beginning in verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So continuing the series in the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of the Proverbs, the wisdom of Scripture, I want to talk to you today about the ABCs of our words. Now, Proverbs has so much to say about wisdom as it relates to our words. All through the 31 chapters, the particular one that we looked at, Proverbs 10, the very last verse, verse 11, sums it up so beautifully with the bottom line that the lips of the righteous are a fountain of life. The ABCs of our words are: A stands for abundance. Did Jesus not say, "For out of the abundance of the heart, so speaketh the mouth," using the old King James vocabulary? We see that in Luke 6, verse 45. A is for abundance. B is for blessing, because we are called to use our words to bless the Lord and bless those who are around us by building them up. Abundance, blessing. And C is for Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God, who has spoken life and grace and hope into our hearts, such that we are able to live wisely in this age for the glory of God. The ABCs of our mouth. Now, how are we doing with this? I mentioned a little bit earlier, have you ever gotten crosswise with somebody because of the words that came out of your mouth? Maybe it even happened on your way to church this morning. At least I know for myself that I often get crosswise because of my mouth. And why is that, my brothers and sisters? Because we speak from our hearts. It really is a heart matter, indeed a heart problem. If we're impatient at the soul of our being, if we're angry or frustrated, out of the abundance of our heart will certainly bubble that anger and that frustration, and it will come out in harsh and rude and hurtful ways. But you might ask, well, wait, as Christians, aren't we new creations? The old has gone away. The new has come. Hallelujah. How is it possible that our new heart then can struggle with the old ways of our hearts and our tongue? This is a challenge that we see. We do believe that our old selves have been crucified on that cross. But the reality is that there's still so much of our flesh, the old self, as it were, that's still alive. And believe you me, we do have a choice. We can still choose. We can choose either to follow the prompting of the Spirit, or we can choose to follow the prompting of the old self. An example of that I saw, forgive me for this illustration, at least for the veterinarians and all of those who have dogs and love them. There's the story of a man who had two dogs, but they always fought. And a friend of his said, "So which one wins?" And he said, "The one I feed and exercise." In the same kind of a way, in our life, in our new life in Jesus Christ, we still struggle with the flesh. And if we indulge the desires of the flesh, then we're going to feed that old dog, so to speak. We're going to exercise that old dog, and that old dog is going to win the fights. We have a choice. The Scripture says that we are to focus on Jesus. How do we train that new life Well, there's different ways of doing that. One way is to get in the midst of the congregation, to come to worship. So many believers today, they say it's not necessary to be part of a church. Hey, I can be a good Christian. I love Jesus, and I can do pretty much whatever I want. I don't really need to be in the assembly of God's people, either on a Sunday morning or, for that matter, any time. I don't need to be part of a church. I would say that you're feeding the old self when you do that. When you come to church and you fellowship with God's people, that's just an example of walking the path of feeding the new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Because we have come together to praise our God and to encourage one another. All the more, the scriptures say, as we see the day of Christ approaching. So let us train our hearts in the ways of God. We can ask ourselves, when our flesh wants to drink too much, or look at stuff that we shouldn't be looking at, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared, and it teaches us to say no to that. And when you say no, guess what you're doing? You're exercising the new man, the new creation. When you give in to that, of course, then you're exercising and feeding the old self. It's kind of a simple scenario. You feed one, the new life, and you are strengthened, and you are growing up. And you feed the old life, and the opposite happens. So, for example, teach yourself this when you're making those decisions of training the one or the other. Paul, in his beautiful letter to the church at Philippi, mind you, he's writing this in prison, very close to the end of his life. And he says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Feed your new life by feeding yourself the food of beautiful, sweet, truthful, honoring things, the things that are praiseworthy, the things that honor the Lord. The brother of Jesus, James, in his short letter, also challenges us in the areas of how we use our words, the words that come out of our mouths, that they witness to the new reality of being in Christ. He said, for example, in James 3, beginning in verse 11 and 12, he says, how is it that in one moment we praise God so beautifully and perhaps so piously, and then in the next moment we curse a fellow human being who is made in the image of God? Do you see that those don't fit? How is it that you can praise the Creator and then the next moment you're cursing the one who was created in His image? He's saying, brothers and sisters, that's not right. That is not okay. It's not okay that from the same mouth blessings and curses come. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should not have that in our lives. It should not be true of us. Then he furthers the illustration by saying, how is it possible that from a fresh spring, salty water bubbles out? Mixing. Presumably, he is saying, we're the fresh spring. And words that are not befitting to the fresh spring are the salty words. Do you ever find yourself saying salty words? Ouch. Yeah, I certainly have let salty words come out of my mouth. And what James is saying is, it shouldn't be so. This should not be the case. And so he's challenging us to control our tongue. You can go to James 3 and you can see all the beautiful metaphors that he uses, like a rudder, you know, or a spark of a flame that can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small thing. It is a small member of the body. And yet he's saying it has so much power to give life. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 43 and 45, he's affirming the wisdom of Solomon. Remember in verse 11, out of the heart of the righteous springs this well of beautiful things, of words. Well, Jesus puts his own twist on that. When he shares a story in Luke 6, he says, from the good person, good things come out of their mouth. From the evil person, evil things. Makes sense? Now, Jesus is not endorsing some sort of do good, feel good religion here. I'll just be good. You know, mind your words and it'll all work out. Jesus further describes what's going on there in Luke 6, 43, 44, and 45. He says, it's like this. You come to me and you hear the words of life. And if you hear them and act on them, you're wise. And if you don't hear them and you don't act on them, then you're unwise. It's like the person who wants to build a beautiful home on the seashore. The wise one, the good one, sets up a solid foundation first. The one who is not wise, the one who uses, let's say, worldly wisdom, slaps up the house. But when the storms come and the waves crash in, that house is going to be taken out to sea. But not so the one that is built on the solid foundation. So Jesus is saying, it's not just about, hey, just let good words flow out of your heart. And, you know, if you're a good person, you know, that's awesome. Jesus is saying, the thing that makes you a good person is if you hear and obey my voice. And that if your life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus had a lot of things to say in the Gospels. One of the things that he said is, and this was a harsh saying, there's sometimes Jesus says some harsh things to us that we're like, we choke on. And he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. This was so harsh. This just didn't ring true for all the people that were listening to his teaching. And it says there in the scripture that many, almost all, abandoned him. It was too much. They're like, Jesus, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And then he turned to his disciples and he said, will you also leave? Peter said, where will we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. Jesus calls us not to just be like him or to follow his example, but really to be found in him, that our life is based on the foundation of the truth that he died for us and that he lives for us. Jesus loves us so much and calls us to that. Paul furthers that in one of his epistles to the church at Colossae. In the second chapter, the sixth verse, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, just as you have received Jesus Christ, continue to live in him, rooted, built on, strengthened in your faith, and overflowing with gratitude. There's a progression there, but it's based on the fact that we are rooted and grounded and built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the author of life, who is the one who has redeemed us. We looked at the abundance of the heart, and so speaketh the mouth. The ABCs of our words continue with a B, which stands for blessing. Now, when our hearts are filled with the abundance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then what naturally comes out of that is blessing. I will bless the Lord with all my heart. His praise will continually be in my mouth, the scripture says. You read that in Psalm 34, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Even here, in our call to worship from Psalm 111, it said, I will praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise him. I will declare in the congregation and in the assembly of the righteous that he is good. Do you see what's going on here? Praise for God befits the people of God, us. We do it here at church, and we should do it at home. We should do it wherever we find ourselves, because as Peter says so beautifully in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we are called to declare the praises of our God because we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation that has been set apart. That's us. Out of the abundance of our heart, so speaks our mouth. And it is a heart of blessing and gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us. And listen, while it starts with blessing the Lord, it overflows with blessing to all those who are around us. For all those that are created in God's image, our fellow image bearers, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, the people that we work with, and the checkout person at the grocery store. We are called to bless and speak blessing into the lives because our words have the power of life. And yes, my brothers and sisters, they also have the power of death. They have the power to encourage and to uplift and to speak beauty and hope into the lives of people around us. I want to challenge each and every one of us here today. Speak Jesus in your heart. And in every situation that you encounter, speak the Lord Jesus Christ into that. We are the mouthpiece of the Lord. Remember Jesus said, you are my hands, you are my feet, go into this world. Well, he's also given us our mouths. And he's calling us to speak the words that Jesus would speak if he were in that situation. I don't understand the beautiful mystery of why he's entrusted the very oracles of God to us as prophets, as broken as we are and as messed up as we so often are. But he has done that, and it's a beautiful thing. What a joy that we have to be able to be his mouthpiece. So speak blessing in the lives of your children and in the life of your spouse and of your fellow workers. Now, this can be hard at times. I'm not going to say it's easy. You're frustrated at home. You know, you're frustrated at work. And, yeah, we speak then out of that frustration and that hurt. My mom used to say, well, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Yeah, easier said than done, Mom. Thank you. It's a good advice, but so often it's so hard for us to practice the self-restraint that goes with that. May I suggest to you something that I have used in my own life to help me with that? I give my tongue a timeout where I say, okay, I'm just gonna be quiet here. Be quick to listen and slow to speak, the scripture says. Somebody joked about the fact that, yeah, we have one mouth and two ears. And it's a sign that we should at least do twice as much listening as we do talking. For some of us, that's kind of hard. But it's good advice, and it's good counsel. And yet, it's one thing to have wishful thinking about that, and it's another thing to actually do it. So practice the discipline. There have been days when I've taken a whole day off and I said, I'm going to fast my words. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I just want to be quiet. Instead of me babbling and chirping and talking, I just want to create a space. You know, we fast of food. We fast of TV. We can fast our words too. And some of us, like me, need to do that more than others. I don't know what your challenges are in your life with regard to words, but I'm just saying a practical application may be listen, stop, ask Jesus first. Lord, what would you have me say in this situation? Are you wondering, like I sometimes wonder, is my mouth ever going to be under control? Are my words really ever truly going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit? Take heart. Because the ABCs of our words lead us to the one final word, Christ. He is the word that has been spoken over us, the word, the definitive word of grace and hope and blessing. The truth is, we can only speak of that which we know. And to the degree that we have experienced Christ and the work of His Spirit in our lives and the love of the Father is the degree to which we are able to allow the abundance of that to overflow in our words. Long for more of Jesus. Pray that the Spirit would be at work in your life. Ask the Lord to focus your full attention, your eyes on Jesus. Don't be discouraged if you're struggling with this. Take the truth of Hebrews in chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. God has spoken a definitive word over us, he says. The author of Hebrews says that right there in Hebrews 6, verse 17. His promises are true and sure in Jesus Christ. In fact, he has guaranteed his love for us by taking an oath, which is unchangeable because the character of God is unchangeable. He's not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should misspeak. Has he said it and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will it not come to pass? That's the scriptures. Because God is unchangeable in his character, and he has made an oath that is unchangeable, that in Jesus Christ he speaks the word of hope and blessing. He has guaranteed his love for us. And Christ has promised that he will make us right with God and he will begin a new work in us. And he who began that good work will be faithful to complete that work in us. And then so beautifully in Hebrews 6, verse 19, he says, we have this sure and steadfast anchor for our soul, which is firm and secure. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distraught by that fact that you're coming back and over and over and over again with your words. Jesus Christ is the word that has been spoken over us. And our hearts find an anchor there, which is firm and secure. So cling to Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Repent, yes, from your sin with your words. But for every one look that you take at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on Jesus. He will transform us. So let us run to him. And let us never tire of holding fast to him. We don't need to despair because he is the author of our faith. But he is also the finisher of our faith. He gives himself to us fully, completely, incomprehensibly, so often to us, enabling us to die to ourselves and that old way of thinking and speaking so that we can live for him. And in this table, Jesus brings home the truth that he died and that he lives. And so we too, in him, experience a death of our old self, but we are raised unto newness of life so that we can say that the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me, and speaks the most beautiful word over us. You are loved in him. Amen.